Welcome to the Business Champion Show. Join us as we spotlight the heartbeat of our communities, the local businesses that shape our lives. From cozy bakeries to bustling bars, these enterprises become integral to our daily experience. Whether you're an entrepreneur or love supporting local greatness, tune in for deep insight. Let's celebrate and empower our community on every level. Sponsored by thebusinesschampion.com, your digital advocate for business success. Here's your host, Marietta Kammerer.
Hello and good morning. Marietta here from Life Talk and the Business Champion Show. And thank you to our sponsors, KmarEducation.org and thebusinesschampion.com. And it's great to be with you again. A new year, new goals, new intentions, new everything for some people. I have work goals every single day, but my new goal this year is going back onto the intermittent fasting program. I have to tell you, things are getting out of hand with the food again. Well, you're human. You're only human, right? But I'm not quite there yet, but I'll get there. Our topics today are peak performance and success tips for the job, mental preparedness. Peak performance refers to a state in which an individual or a system operates at its optimal or highest level of functioning. Now, our segments are what wears us down mentally and emotionally. Embrace responsibility. Your words and actions shape consequences for others. Managing inner struggles in the workplace. Strategies for balance and productivity. Now, before we get started, I'd like to introduce Rich Tuthill, the versatile expert for the Business Champion Show, now on stage with me. Hello, Rich. How are you?
Very good, Marietta. Hope you had a safe drive into work this morning.
We only had a quarter of a mile visibility. I like to applaud everybody that goes to work under certain weather conditions. And I know people that don't work from home like I am. We get spoiled. So anything, I don't like fog. I can't stand fog. But thank God we had a quarter of a mile visibility. I'm judging that, quarter of a mile. So that wasn't bad. But still, I don't like to drive with fog. Thank God the show isn't at night. So anyway, Rich, by the way, you said we had about four people email us last week. Let me tell you, I got the copy here. One person liked our program. Thank you. Three people totally gave us the thumbs up that the topics met different challenges for different people, and they had their share themselves. So there you go. So we like to hear from you, our listeners. We like to hear from you. And info@thebusinesschampion.com is the place. info@thebusinesschampion.com. Write to us, make suggestions, share ideas, whatever you want to do, but just be nice. You know? So just be nice to us. So we don't have it easy here, right? And we get up early. And also check out our website, thebusinesschampion.com. It is a combination of magazine, and also all our radio shows are on that website as well. So it's always great to, you know, catch one or two. It's nice. I really enjoy it. So thebusinesschampion.com is the place to go to. Not now, because we're on the air. So, Rich, I'm ready.
Your mental state shapes your workday. Pay attention to your mind before diving in. Learn to work effectively with what's on your mental horizon. Work demands focus, but so does your mental well-being. Acknowledge what occupies your mind to navigate your tasks at hand.
In our first segment, we're talking about what wears us down emotionally and mentally. Well, mental energy is a finite resource, much like physical energy. So, however, generally speaking, it's believed that mental energy operates similarly to a muscle. It can be trained. It can fatigue, and it requires recovery. Isn't that a fact? So, cognitive task, engaging in complex, demanding tasks can quickly deplete mental energy. I work with very complex and demanding tasks all the time, and I have to rest. And you know, I figured it out. Early in the morning are my prime time, like 5 o'clock in the morning till about 1 o'clock. Do you know, not that I get up 5 o'clock all the time, no. But sometimes I'm right there at 6:30. I have an idea. I get right to the computer, and boy, oh boy, I zoom right through it. That idea is developed, you know, and it's on paper, and it's everything is embellished, and it just goes zoom, zoom, zoom. That's it. So we all have to know, you know, when we operate the best. Now, what people do from 9 to 5, I don't know that. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's go to the next one. Emotional stress. Dealing with emotions, especially intense ones, can exhaust mental reserves. Huh. That's a fact. Relationships, fighting, people that are, you know, on the outs. I remember, and it just goes on and on and on for months and months and months, this relationship fighting, you know, that wears you down. And what both people thinking, oh, this one is cheating on me, I got to watch this one. You're so totally engaged in this thinking, you don't have room for anything else. I don't know how we function sometimes, you know, when we have this going on. I understand people that are going through this, that are presently going through this, state of mind. I've been there. I have been there. But somehow we function. Fighting on the job, that's the worst. And I know about that too. You know, can't get along with certain coworkers, or they're nasty, or I totally get it. Or fighting with the landlord, fighting with the world. Some people are just chronically fighting. They just love it. You know, they love drama, so they have to have new food all the time, so they create the stuff. I know what I'm talking about. I used to do that too when I was younger, you know, when I didn't know better. I thought I had to take on the world. Yeah, right. What a joke. So, some people are constantly on the battlefield. I know about that. So we know they create their own drama, and they have to. It's like food, like fuel. Rich, I'd like to bring you in. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, absolutely. There are those that are just pleasant to be around all the time, and then there are those that, as you said, they need to have that drama. It's almost like it's a fuel for them to keep their going, and it makes everybody around them miserable.
Yeah. The next one is decision-making. Making numerous decisions, regardless of their significance, can drain mental energy. Oh, do I wear the red or blue shirt today? Do I take money out of the 401k, or do I wait? What excuse can I give my boss today for being late? Now, all of these decisions, you know, they can be big deal to people. All I know, sometimes we're just not ready to make a decision, you know, whether they're small or big. I've gone through that too. You know, I'm aware of that. So all decisions we make, some come easier, and others, well, we got to talk about that. So let me go for a quick break. Be right back.
Your mental readiness sets the tone for productivity. Take a moment before work to assess your mental space. It's key to a successful day. Recognize what's occupying your thoughts before you step into work. Learning to navigate your mental landscape enhances your effectiveness at work.
Now, to finish segment one, I just want to add three more. Multitasking, sleep quality, and physical health. But, you know, many multitasking jobs or steps don't require mental strength. Let's say, for instance, when I dust, I vacuum and clean and revamp the pantry, I'm not using my brain. Yeah, maybe I'm a good organizer, but I can do all of that and flawlessly go one into the next, but not when I'm focused mentally to finish or to create a project. So I can't be dusting or vacuuming. I don't even want to hear the vacuum cleaner, right? So I'm very noise sensitive. So certain tasks, yes, we can do multitasking and the sequential steps, no problem. But others, you can't do that. You need to stick with everything. And of course, you have to have good sleep quality, and that's not always a given thing. And we have to have good physical health. And many people suffer, with chronic health. I'm sorry about that. And I hope you have a very good doctor that you can confide in and that you get better soon. So I'm very much aware of that. Okay, so let me move on to the next one. When we don't feel right, when our mind is occupied with all different things, with mental rubbish, but we don't call it mental rubbish because it's all important to us. Yeah. So while people are dealing with internal turmoil or the highest level of anger, they're not being nice at work. It shows they're trying to hide it, but they have very decreased patience. Rich, I'd like to bring you in. You know about people like that.
Oh, yeah. You've got to be patient when you're dealing with any kind of issue at work. My jobs were more service-oriented. I didn't have to sit at a desk. My desk was on four wheels, so I got I guess you could call it my alone time in between doing service calls for all those years. And that was my time to get out frustrations if something was going wrong. But you also have to pay attention. And because I'm driving, I can't go crazy on other people around you. But you see that during the course of the day as well. But yeah, you have to be patient with things.
You know, when I'm commuting, when I'm driving and I have a little distance like 10 miles or something like that, I think about a lot of things and I solve a lot of things. Some days more than others. Or I think about certain things that somebody said while we're driving. I think we all are subject to that, where we're thinking about something. Hey, what did this person say about 2 weeks ago? Hey, I don't like that.
Do you save the world's problems, solve the world's problems?
Oh, I stopped doing that a long time ago. No, what I'm thinking about is really pertaining to my work and how I feel about certain things and certain people, or was what the spoken word that was said maybe a week ago or so. But when we're full of anger, we certainly have impaired communication, and we certainly have our listening skills turned off. How in the world, we just don't acknowledge people the way we would if we're really if we're present. You know, we're just, it captures us. Whatever is happening in our minds, it has us captivated.
And one of the things you've said, I've heard you on the shows and off air, is listening is key. That a lot of people don't listen, that you start to make a point about something and they will immediately jump in and talk over you and not listen to what you're actually explaining to them.
You know, I am really shocked. Over the years, having interviewed several guests, and I always had in Life Talk, I always had maybe four or five people. Some were experts, some were contributors. So, and everybody today is an expert. Everybody is. Come on, right?
Or so they think.
Right. So, adult people that don't have this listening skill. And here we're always pounding on our children. Oh, you should have this, you should have that. No, they don't have listening skills. And another thing, to understand the spoken word, that's a pointer that makes me really mad how few people really understand the spoken word. That immediately can digest it and understand it.
I remember when your granddaughter was on your program a few years ago, that I believe she was maybe a junior in high school at the time, something like that, and how well-spoken she was. And I remember complimenting her afterwards, because listening to teenagers especially, it was mostly, well, you know, like, and they can talk for 5 minutes and not say anything.
Thank you. You've said that at least 2-3 times to me, that you remember that, you know, when we're off air and everything. Thank you very much. Now, I have a few things to say about that, but let me just stick to segment two. So increased tension, lowered performance, very definitely. And, you know, thinking back, immersing myself into this topic, really, when things were really hard, when I went through adversity in my life over time, and I said to myself, how did I handle all of this? But, you know, when I went through adversity, work was my anchor. I immersed myself in work so I wouldn't have to think about when my father and mother died or when I went through the divorce. And I worked 10-hour days. And at night, I would come home like 10 o'clock. I'm self-employed, right? I would come home to the house at 10 o'clock and would get the mail and everything. And once I relaxed, the pain came back. So when we have pain, we all have pain. We don't know. Sometimes you just don't, you can't recognize it on a person's, you know, face.
Thinking about it during the day when you're so busy,
right?
It pushes it aside.
Exactly.
And then when you have that quiet time, like you said, you get home and then it's work is done for the day and then it all comes back.
I started crying again and this went on every single day and I couldn't wait to get to work. And this works for me, really being busy creating projects and not having to think about it. And I know life isn't easy, but somehow we make it. Somehow we go through it. So, but what we want to point out today, that definitely our performance is lowered when we have major, major things happening in our lives and carry it around with us. And especially grief. We don't know when grief stops. You know, grief, you just have to let it go. And I remember 15 years of my life, I lived with grief. You can't just say, okay, I'm not grieving anymore, or listen to other people. Well, you should move on. No. That's not how it works. So leave the person alone. Negative impacts on colleagues. And it's sad that we're in a negative mood. It's impacting the team dynamics. And I just want to, before we go for a break, I want to finish this. I went to this website. It's a survey company. And they're talking about quiet quitters. And I said, what do they mean by that? Quiet quitters refer to employees who disengage or become disenchanted with their work, but do not express their dissatisfaction openly or actively, seeking alternative employment. So in other words, they just stew. They just stew. And you know what? I don't want people like that around me. Not just at work, but you have it. We have it. In our environment here. And they kill the mood, the creativity, the excitement. Yeah? And look, I'm only human being, and I say, okay, leave the person alone, and then they're right back in my life, and I have them right back there. Sometimes they're nice, and sometimes they're not. And they're killers. They're productivity killers, I say. So let's go for a break.
Your mind deserves a seat at your work table. Acknowledge what's on your mental agenda today and adjust your approach accordingly. Being mentally ready is as crucial as being physically present at work. Learn to collaborate with your mental state to optimize your productivity.
You know, the survey company we looked up, they talked to quiet quitters. And part of their survey was to ask respondents, if you could make one change at your current employer to make it a great place to work, what would it be? Now, overall, 85% of responses related to three categories, engagement or culture, pay, and well-being. 41% said engagement or culture, 28 pay and benefits, and 16 well-being. So many respondents said they would like more recognition. We've talked about that, you know, just about in every show. Recognition, opportunities to learn, fair treatment, clearer goals, and better managers. Fair treatment, that's another thing I could get very excited. And we know it's happening in each workplace that they have favorites.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think the bigger the company, the more people that you have, it's easier to see some of those things where one person is favored over another for whatever reason.
Right. You know, I worked in a big accounting office. This goes back to the 70s, Rich, right? So I was in accounts payable, accounts receivable, and we had a receptionist at the front desk in the accounting department. It was a big accounting department. And wouldn't you know, that girl, the person who had that job, you couldn't rely on her to be there present, sitting in the seat 5 days a week. At least 3 out of 5, she showed up late, and we would never know if she would show up. So when she did show up, oh, she was all like, she partied all night long, and she just happened to waltz in. And here we were already in the midst of our work day and everything. And then the next thing she would do, she would talk to the controller behind the door. They had a glass window, just like we have here, you know, and the two of them would up, 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 you know. And it wasn't that he was scolding her. Oh, no, they were laughing and everything. So, of course, other ideas came. Hey, she must really be in with the controller, right? But we hated that. And, you know, it was tolerated. It was tolerated by management. And who suffered? Us, because we had to answer the telephone.
You guys get to work on time and somebody else doesn't, so you're doing the work that she should have been doing.
Yeah, we had customer service phone calls. We had cost accounting. We had everything. We're not answering her phone, you know, and everything, but there was nothing we could do about it. Nothing. Yeah, I stayed with that company for a year. But that's what I saw. This is what was displayed. I can't take that. And today, I don't think I would fit into a company anymore. Thank God I'm self-employed for 37 years. I would really have it out with the manager. I probably would have to look for a new job, you know? But before I would say something, I would already know that. I can't stand that. You got to treat everybody fair. What goes for one goes for the rest. Unless there's a special arrangement made ahead of time. Yeah? So it's not good. It's not good. We have to go for a break? All right, Rich.
Work and mental readiness go hand in hand. Take a moment to address what's occupying your mind. It sets the pace for a productive work day. Mental readiness is a game changer at work. Learn to work harmoniously with your thoughts and emotions to enhance your professional output.
You know, the tips to prepare for work performance, I have about 7 listed. I can't list them all and talk about them all, but the transition time, Rich, what you had just mentioned, a few minutes ago, when you went from job to job and you sat then in your car, you know, to wind down and to concentrate to the next person, you know, you might have had a little bit of drive, but to read the work order sheet, hey, what the problem was there and everything, and what other what messages you got. Oh, don't do this, don't do that, go into the back door or ask for person so-and-so. So in other words, we need that transition time from home. I prepare myself for the day, and then I go out. Then I don't think about what I'm going to eat at night, which bill I'm going to pay. I have all of this prepared ahead of time. The key is preparation. But the transition time, talk a little bit about this transition time.
Oh, absolutely. I worked for Xerox for 25 years fixing copy machines. So as I've told you in the past, that my office was on 4 wheels, and I had that transition first thing in the morning. And I like to listen to go back and forth between some news, the sports stations and also to listen to some music, whether it's the classic rock and that. So that kind of gets me ready. I'm not really thinking about the first service call until I actually get there and I'm walking in. But then in between during the course of the day, you're right, as I'm going from one service call to another, I might have a 10-15 minute drive. Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking about when was I there last and who's make sure I have the right contact. Who's going to help me out finding out what the problem is with the machine. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, and the same thing with other jobs, that you have that going from one particular job that you're doing at the time to something else. And you had that with the accounting as you're going from one client to another, mm-hmm. that it's different situations.
Yeah. Planning ahead is king. Take a few minutes in the morning or the night before to outline your task for the day. Knowing what to expect can reduce stress and create a clear path for your work there. I live by that. And when I say I do that, you know I'm prepared. I'm always prepared. Get there early, too. I like to be on time. I used to be one of those years ago, always the last minute. And you know what? In the morning, I would iron my blouses and, you know, I would always have a two-piece suit on, you know, in accounting. And I would iron my blouses in the morning. And then I had a one-hour commute to Greenwich. And since we didn't have cell phones in the 80s, I couldn't wait to get to work and call my neighbor. I said, would you go up there and see if I turned off the iron? She was able to look through the window. If I unplugged the iron, it just created so much stress and chaos and turmoil in my mind. And she used to make fun of me. Yeah, she said, if your house is on fire, how many buckets do you want me to bring up there? One or two? You know, for years she would tease me on it. But no, I wasn't planning ahead. I have everything planned. For over 30 years, I live like that. When I say I'm doing something, and when I'm talking to you like that, it's a fact. Never doubt it. You know, I talk about my shortcomings, but everything is prepared, and I get to places early.
The legendary football coach, Vince Lombardi, had the saying that if he scheduled a meeting for 10 a.m., if you showed up at 9:55, he said you were late.
Yeah.
Everybody had to be on time so they could get moving. They didn't have time to waste.
Yeah. So remember the transition time, important to switch gears. So that's very important. And planning. Positive affirmations, and there's so much more. And also breaks at work. So you only know what your breaks look like. I take breaks during the day. You know, they look a little different than yours, since I don't have a hallway in a cafeteria, but I have a refrigerator. So I do make stops at the refrigerator, you know. So are we out of time? Not yet. One more commercial. All right, here it goes. To the song playing
on the radio. Your mental state influences your work vibe. Embrace it. Understand it. And channel it positively to conquer the day's challenges. Before diving into tasks, tune into your mental playlist. Be aware of your mental state helps in navigating the work terrain more effectively. If
you
say
run, I'll run. You know, Rich, we talked about commuting and thinking about things or solving. I can only do that with soft music, not when you know, rock and roll is playing. I can't solve any problems. But you know what? I thought about some classical music at the workforce. And years ago, I worked with individuals, doctors, who applied the art color therapy and the impact it has on employees. And of course, it's different for everybody. Some find blue more soothing than others. More blue, you get excited. You know, it doesn't calm you down at all. But classical music for productivity and focus, stress reduction, again, everybody responds differently. But there's so much we can do. So I want to thank you for tuning in today. It was a pleasure coming in, even in the fog. And Mr. Tuthill flew across the bridge in his Hoovercraft. I love
not
Hoovercraft.
Not too far to go.
I've only been in a Hoovercraft in England once. Have you been in a Hoovercraft? Okay, he's giving me the fingers. So goodbye. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Saturday. Thank you for tuning in.